Romans once again, Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1, we began here last week and we saw the first four verses, and this morning we want to endeavor to look at the next three verses, verses 5, 6, and 7. Let me go ahead and begin reading while you're turning there, and then we'll stand in just a moment and read our text for this morning. Verse 1, it says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. And last week we said that Paul declared two things. He declared his life's work in verse number 1, his calling that God had placed upon him. And then secondly, in verses 2, 3, and 4, Paul declares the Lord's worthiness, that the Lord is worthy for him to serve, to give himself to him. And specifically, we saw that he is the promised one in verse number 2. We saw that he is the preeminent one in verse number 3. And then we saw that he is the powerful one in verse number 4, and declared to be the Son of God with power. Why do we say he's the powerful one? Two reasons it gives us in verse number 4, because he was perfect, because he did not sin. The Bible says, according to the Spirit of holiness. He was perfect, no sin whatsoever. And then it says, by the resurrection from the dead. So he was perfect. That's why his blood can wash away our sin, because his blood is perfect. Ours isn't. Ours is tainted with Adam's sin. His was not, because he was born of a virgin. There was no man's seed. There was not the sin nature, if you will. And so the Bible says, by according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. He's the promised one. He's the preeminent one. And he's the powerful one. And it is by this individual that Paul, in verse number 5, had received grace and apostleship. So I've given you plenty of time to get there. Let's stand and we'll read verses 5, 6, and 7. Mrs. Graham is at the door waiting for the kids. So kids, you can be dismissed to children's church, and I believe Miss Jennifer as well for toddler church. Look if you would at verse number 5. Romans chapter 1, verses 5, 6, and 7. The Bible says, by whom? There, Paul, he says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship. Now, who is the whom in verse number 5? It's Jesus. It's the Son who is declared to be the Son of God with power. It says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for His name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We said that this promised one, this preeminent one, this powerful Son of God, the whom in verse number 5, is the very one from whom Paul received grace and apostleship. And I submit to us this morning, by the way, we know this. I'm not fixing to tell you something you don't already know. By the way, fix it. That's a good word, isn't it? Y'all use that word? Fixing? I had a roommate in college that was from New Jersey. And the first time I said that, I thought he was going to pass out. Fixing? What is that? Fixing? Anyway, I'm not fixing to tell you anything that you don't already know. But I submit to us this morning that the same God from whom Paul received his grace and apostleship is the same God from whom we receive grace. There's not a different God. And I believe sometimes we settle for mediocrity in the 21st century because somehow we don't believe that God can do in and through us what He did in and through Paul. Now I understand when it comes to the apostleship, the apostles have ceased. I believe in the cessation of the apostles. That's a big argument today. But I believe the apostles ceased. Okay, so in that vein I understand we're different than the Apostle Paul. But the same God who saved Paul, the same God who called Paul, the same God who enabled Paul with His grace, is the same God that we serve today. Notice, if you would, in verse number 6, and this is what I want us to speak about today. For the next few moments, I want to speak to us regarding the little phrase in verse number 6, ye also. Look what he says, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. There is only one God. The difference lies in how we view Him and how we respond to Him and to His Word. And I pray that we'll see that today. I believe with all my heart, God desires to do wonderful, powerful things in and through us. But we have to believe that He can. And we have to believe that that is the same God. He is the same God that the Apostle Paul served and was called by and was saved by. Because Paul tells the Roman believers, ye also. It's the same God that ye also have been called by. Father, help us today and teach us, and we'll surely thank You for it. Father, I pray two things. First of all, Lord, I ask if there'd be someone here today that has never come to the saving knowledge of Christ, that today would be their day of salvation. And then secondly, Lord, I pray for any believer in here this morning who needs to get some things right with You. Father, I pray for any believer who needs to, they know it, but they need to apply it. They need to go beyond just being a hearer and being a doer today and say, yes, I serve the same God. And God, would You do through me what You did through the Apostle Paul? Would You use me? We know the Apostle Paul was the Apostle Paul, but Lord, would You use me? I believe that You're the same God. I believe that You can do powerful things. And God, use me. Lord, help me to be the disciple that You desire for me to be, as we saw in Sunday school. And then, Lord, use me. Father, help us in the moments to come, and we'll surely thank You for what You'll do. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let me give you three statements this morning. And we're going to begin all three statements with those two words, ye also. Ye also. Paul is speaking to the Romans, but I'm speaking to us this morning. Ye also. Paul is speaking to every believer and every Christian down throughout the ages for the past 2,000 plus years. Ye also. And he says, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ? Number one this morning, ye also have the same salvation. If you're here this morning and you've called upon the Lord Jesus Christ to save you, you have the same salvation that the Apostle Paul had, that the Roman believers had, that the first century church had. You have the same salvation. Now, by the way, if you're here this morning and you never called upon the Lord Jesus Christ to save you, before you leave today, you can have the same salvation that the Apostle Paul had, that the Roman believers had, that those individuals that he's speaking to here in the book of Romans had, that he's speaking to in verses 6 and 7. He says in verse 7, to all that be in where? Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Look, if we had someone writing a letter today, to all that be in Ripley, to all that be in Brownsville, to all that be in Nutbush, to all that be in Jackson, to all that be in Dyersburg, those that have called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and placed their faith and trust completely and solely and wholly in Him. Number one this morning, ye also have the same salvation. The Bible says in verse number 6, the called of Jesus Christ. Called Jesus Christ with an apostrophe, yes. We are His. Called of Jesus Christ. Ye also have the same salvation. And by the way, we don't have to leave the book of Romans to figure out what kind of salvation that is. Look, if you would, at chapter number 3. Salvation is by the grace of God through faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, if you would, in Romans chapter number 3, we'll begin reading in verse number 24. The Bible says, being justified freely by His grace. Grace is that which God gives us that we do not deserve. Mercy is that which God doesn't give us that we do deserve. Grace, what did I receive through the grace of God? I received the finished work of Christ. I received salvation. I received forgiveness of sins. I received a home in heaven one day. I received the abundant Christian life. I received all of that even though I do not deserve it. That is grace, receiving that which I do not deserve. I also received mercy. God doesn't give me that which I deserve. What do I deserve? I deserve hell. I deserve a miserable life here upon this earth. But by His mercy, I don't have that. Romans chapter 3, verse 24, he says, by His grace, freely by His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom, speaking of Christ Jesus in verse number 24, God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His, what? Blood. To declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, and through the forbearance of God to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded by what law? Of works? Is boasting excluded by the law of works? Nay, no, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by baptism without the deeds of the law. Is that what it says? Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by church membership. I scared y'all a little bit when I said baptism, didn't I? Whoa, that isn't what my Bible says. That's exactly right. It's not what your Bible says. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Look at chapter number 4 with me, if you would. You also have the same salvation. Salvation is by the grace of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter number 4, verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father is pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory. Remember chapter number 3? He says, where is boasting? Okay, in chapter number 4, for if Abraham, verse 2, were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. See, we have this false, and I say we, I'm just the world and even some in Christianity, we have this false idea that people in the Old Testament were saved by their works, by keeping the Ten Commandments, and people in the New Testament are saved by faith in what Christ did on the cross. No, no, no. They're all saved by faith. We're all saved by faith. And Paul gives us a great example here. Abraham, he believed God, and it was counted unto him for what? Righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Notice verse 8, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Anybody know what that word impute means? Excuse me? To put it on account. You know what he's saying there? He's saying that our sin, it's been removed. The account has been wiped clean. And not only is there no more sin on our account, now we have the righteousness of Christ on our account. So whereas we had all of this debt on our account, all of this sin debt on our account, the bills were just racking up. The debt is racking up. And Jesus Christ came. He shed His blood on the cross of Calvary. Now when an individual by faith places his faith in the finished work of Christ, in the blood of Christ, those sins, those debt, that debt is wiped away. And now on my account is the wonderful righteousness of Christ. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Go a little bit further. Look at chapter number 5. Chapter number 5, ye also have the same salvation. We're not saved differently today than they were in the first century. We're not saved differently today than the Apostle Paul was or any Roman believer that he's speaking to here in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8, but God. By the way, let's back up. Verse number 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have what? Peace. You see, at salvation, we make peace with God. And then after that, we have the peace of God. We make peace with God, and then I can live with or in the peace of God. I can live every day peacefully. It's like the lady's saying, look, the storms can be roaring around and the waves and the winds, they can be howling, but I can live in peace because I have the peace of God. Therefore, being justified by faith, not works, not baptism, not our offering plate, justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 8, but God. commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. What did he do for us? Christ died for us. Chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Chapter number 8, verse 1. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. What's the point, Pastor? Ye also have the same salvation. Ye also have the same salvation. Romans chapter 8, verse number 1. There is therefore now. There is therefore now no condemnation. No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ Jesus this morning? Have you again placed your faith in Christ and in Him alone? Are you in Christ Jesus? By the way, that's the deciding factor of election. If you're in Christ Jesus or not. Anybody in Christ is part of the elect. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Romans chapter 10. Verse number 1, brethren, Paul as a Jew, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Paul is speaking of his brethren, of the Jew, of the nation of Israel. But listen, we can speak to our own brethren as Americans today, because there's American after American after American who goes about trying to establish their own righteousness. By the way, there might be somebody in here this morning. That's how you live. You live every day trying to establish your own righteousness. You live every day trying to be good enough to get to heaven. Now let me ask you, should we live good every day? Yes. Should we do right things every day? Yes. But not in order to, but because of. Not in order to get to heaven, but because I'm already going. Going about to establish their own righteousness. And then drop down to verse number 9, if you would. Romans chapter number 10, verse number 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Jews, hey, I know there's this big debate. Was he the Messiah? Is he not the Messiah? Is he the Messiah? Is he not the Messiah? Paul says, look, if you believe on him, you won't be ashamed. If you believe on him, you won't be ashamed. Your family may ostracize you. Your family may disown you, Jew, brethren, but you'll never be ashamed if you put your trust in him. Verse number 13, verse 12, he gives the reason why they won't be ashamed, for there's no difference. He says, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. By the way, look back at Romans chapter 1 and verse number 5. Paul says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship. The grace comes before the apostleship. The salvation comes before service. Obedience to the truth comes before engaging in the task. John Wesley grew up in a wonderful Christian home. Left England to come to America, to come to the state of Georgia to evangelize the Indians in Georgia. Went back home to England with just a heavy heart and with a burdened heart. He got back to England and realized where he had gone and left to go to America to try to convert the heathen. He got home and realized he himself was an unconverted heathen. And he got saved. You see, the grace comes before the work. The salvation comes before the service. Being born again comes before laboring. Number one, ye also have the same salvation. It's not different. Let me give you number two. Look at verse number 5 of Romans chapter 1. Ye also have the same salvation. But number two, ye also have the same commission. Look what Paul says in verse number 5, by whom we received grace and apostleship. And here he's speaking of his apostleship. Notice what he says, for obedience to faith among all nations. In that little phrase, he is speaking of world evangelism. He is speaking of the Great Commission. He is speaking of being a missionary himself. He is speaking of the commission that God gave the apostles when he left in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. That's what he's speaking of in verse number 5 when he says, for obedience to the faith among all nations. He's speaking of the commission, his apostleship, his service, his work that we spoke about last week in verse number 1, his calling. Ye also have the same commission. He says there in verse number 5, among all nations. And again, I submit to us, I think we believe sometimes, well, the Apostle Paul did it, and the Apostle Paul was a great missionary, and the Apostle Paul saw churches started, and he saw people get saved, and he saw Lydia in the book of Acts get saved, and he saw the Philippian jailer, and he saw these individuals get saved, and then the church at Philippi began, and he did all that, but that can't happen today. Well, it won't happen if that's our attitude. It won't happen if that's the limited amount of faith that we have. It won't happen if that's the limited amount of courage that we have. And courage, we know, is simply faith in God's promises. No, the same God has given us the same commission. You say, but Pastor, we pray for people. We pray for people to be saved, and we pray for individuals to be saved, and they're not saved yet. That's why we keep praying. You know, most people don't get saved the first time they hear the gospel. I got saved when I was 9 years old. I heard the gospel and understood the gospel probably for about 7 years. From the time I was about 2 or 3, 6 or 7 years, I understood the gospel. I understood that I was a sinner, and I understood that there was one who died for me and that I needed him. I understood all that. But I didn't get saved till I was 9. I went forward when I was 5. And then for the next 4 years, not every day, but periodically, that thought would come to my mind, you're not saved. Boy, I'd hear a message and I'd go home, and in my heart, you're not saved. Pastor, you were 5. Pastor, you were 6. Yeah, and I knew I wasn't saved. I knew I had never called upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I knew I'd never placed my faith. I had a head knowledge, but I had never appropriated it. I was a hearer, but I wasn't a doer. I had heard it, but I'd never applied it to my own life. You also have the same commission. And so for years, I went without being saved. And so we may say, well, I pray and I pray and I pray, and they don't get saved. Keep praying. And by the way, with your praying, keep talking to them. Keep telling them. Keep taking them to the Word of God. Keep asking them the questions. Hey, have you thought about that anymore? Have you thought about what we spoke about the other day? About salvation, about Jesus Christ, about what He did for you? Have you thought about that? Have you thought about eternity? Have you thought about the fact that none of us are promised tomorrow? Oh, Pastor, you're just trying to scare them. No, no, no. People need to be sobered to the truth of eternity and the brevity of life. Life is short. We know that. But really, it begins to become in clear focus the older you get. See, when you're these guys' age right here, you don't think about eternity. Well, that's okay. Everything being equal, they have a lot of life left. But they're not promised it. And the older you get, it comes into focus a little clearer. Life is so short. So short. It goes so quickly. And God gives us time right now, not only to get prepared, but to help other people get prepared. We have the same, ye also have the same salvation, but number two, ye also have the same commission. We have the same message, obedience to faith. We have the same mission field, all nations. And we have the same master. In verse number 5, it says, for his name. The same authority, the same one who sent the Apostle Paul out is the same one who sends us out. The same one who gave the apostles the Great Commission is the same one who gives us the Great Commission to tell others about Christ. Ye also have the same salvation. Ye also have the same commission among all nations. Same message, obedience to the faith, the same mission field, all nations, the same master for his name. You say, Pastor, I'm not going to go to all nations. Right. But this is your nation right here. And then we're supposed to give to help others to go to all nations. We're to help others to go to the different parts of the world, Judea and Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. So let me ask us, we say, well, I can't go to all nations. Okay, right, you're right. But what are you doing in your Jerusalem? This is our Jerusalem. Toulon, Nutbush, Ripley, Brownsville, Jackson, Dyersburg, Brighton, the areas that we have influence in. Humboldt. These are our Jerusalems. Number one, ye also have the same salvation. But number two, ye also have the same commission. And by the way, let me say this. I ask, what are we doing in our Jerusalem? That doesn't just happen on Saturday at 10, although it does happen on Saturday at 10, but it doesn't just happen then. It ought to be happening every day of the week. Every opportunity we get. In the grocery store, in our places of business, just being able to talk to people. Hey, teenagers at school, being able to talk to people about the Lord Jesus Christ, about salvation. That's our mission field. That's our commission. But we're not the Apostle Paul. You're absolutely right. But we have the same God. I'm not Paul. You're right. But we have the same God. And if I'll submit myself to that God, and I'll submit myself to that word, to His word, the way the Apostle Paul did, I can be used of God. I can be a tool in His hand, just like the Apostle Paul was. We saw it last week. We see it right here in verse number 1. He says that he is separated unto the gospel of God. In Galatians chapter number 6, he said, the world is crucified to me and I to the world. That's the problem. We don't want to crucify ourselves to the world. We don't want the world to be crucified to us. We love dabbling in the world too much. And when I say we, I'm just talking about Christianity. And Paul said, I am crucified to the world, and the world is crucified to me. And because of that, God used him powerfully. He said, because I am separated unto the gospel. Ye also have the same commission. Paul confronted people. He persuaded people. One-on-one, face-to-face. Several years ago, it's probably been, I don't know, maybe 30 or 40 years ago by now, but this new kind of evangelism called lifestyle evangelism started becoming popular, and the idea was if I just live, if I just live right and live the way God wants me to, then people will come to me and ask me how to get saved. That's not what the Bible teaches. Does the Bible teach I need to live right and be a good testimony for Christ? Absolutely. Does the Bible teach that I'm to adorn the gospel of God? Absolutely. But the Bible tells me I'm to go tell people and talk to people about their eternity and the salvation of their soul. Number one, ye also have the same salvation. But number two, ye also have the same commission. Then let me give you number 3, verse number 7. Not only do we have the same salvation, the same commission, but number 3, ye also have the same provision. Look what he says in verse number 7. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Ye also have the same provision, the provision of God's love, beloved of God. That word beloved speaks of being loved dearly. By the way, if our Father loves us dearly, don't you think He wants us to succeed? I love my children dearly, and you know what? I want them to succeed. They are beloved to me, dearly beloved. I don't want them to fail. We have the same provision. We have the love of God. Secondly, we have the provision not only of His love, we have the provision of His grace. The Bible says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. That word saints carries the idea of holy ones. He says grace, and Paul says this almost in every letter, and I believe probably in every letter. He says grace to you and peace from God our Father, the provision of God's grace. And God's grace is not provided so that we can have permission to sin. God's grace is provided so that we can have the enabling power of Almighty God. He gives us the power to do that which we can never do without Christ. Grace gives us the power to live for Him and to be like Him. It gives us the power to speak for Him and to be bold for Him. It's the grace of God. The provision of God's love, the provision of God's grace, that enabling power. Thirdly, we've already mentioned this, the provision of God's peace. Peace in the midst of any storm. We made peace with God at the moment of salvation, and now we live in the peace of God. The provision of God's peace. By the way, if we have God's peace, we ought to be some of the most steady and most stable people in all the earth. We ought not be blown around with every wind of doctrine. We ought not be blown around by every emotion. If I have the peace of God, I ought to be a steady and a stable individual, spiritually speaking. I ought not be moved by circumstances and emotions. Steady, stable. By the way, when I think of that word, there's a lot of people in here I think about, but there's one man I think about. It's Mac Bain. Man, his temperament just... Now, y'all may have seen otherwise, Miss Glenda, because you've been married to him for a long time. But it's just steady as you go. Never high, never low. Just steady as you go. You know what? As a Christian, I have the peace of God. Not be moved by feelings. The provision of God's love, of His grace, of His peace. Then I'll give you a fourth one, the provision of God's faithfulness. Look at the last phrase in verse number 7. Who is all this from? Grace to you and peace from who? God our Father. He's faithful. He's faithful to give us that which we need to live this life, to have the power, because He's faithful to give us the grace and the peace that we need, to shower us with love. By the way, look at Romans chapter 5. We read verses 1 and 8. Verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in, what's the word there? Tribulation. Whoa! Do you like tribulations? No. No. This isn't even a tribulation, but at the moment in my life, it was a tribulation. Wednesday, my son and I, we were in the church van. We ran an errand. We got home. Wednesday night, the Blankenships were going to drive the van. So we parked the van in the back, turned it off. I put the keys in the cup holder to leave it for them. And I did what I tell Josh never to do. Every time he goes, puts keys in the cup holder in the van when somebody else is driving it and they need the keys, don't lock the door, because that's the only set we have. By the way, we'll have another set tomorrow. But I jumped out of the van, hit the lock, closed the door, didn't think anything of it. About 5 o'clock. Oh, I wonder what Corey wants. Pastor, the van's locked and I see the keys in the cup holder. At that moment, that was a tribulation for me. Because we didn't have another set. The ladies are leaving the next morning and they need the van. We can drive the other van Wednesday night, but the ladies don't want to ride in that van. It's dirty. They probably wouldn't have gone. And at that moment, that was a tribulation for me. The Lord worked it all out. But the Bible says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Why? Knowing that tribulation worketh what? Patience. And patience what? Hey, you know what I learned Wednesday night? Make sure you got a second set of keys. That's experience. Which, by the way, I already knew that. You just never think you're going to lock them in there, do you? And then what does he say? An experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. Look at this. Because the what? Love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. We can go through the tribulations and we can go through the storms because we know we have a Father in heaven who loves us, and that love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that resides in us. Listen, today we have the same provision that the Apostle Paul had. We have the same power. We have the same love. We have the same grace. We have the same peace. We have the same faithful Father in heaven that can work in and through us the same way He did the Apostle Paul. Ye also have the same salvation. Ye also have the same commission, same message, the same mission field, the same master. For His name, verse number 5 says, and ye also have the same provision, the same supply, the same power, the same resources to tap into that the Apostle Paul had. But you say, Pastor, well, he was able to do signs because he was an apostle. I understand all that. And those signs were for the Jews. And I understand that. We don't need those today. We have the completed Word of God, the completed canon of Scripture. But my point is simply this. We have the same power because we have the same God. God's power hasn't diminished. Has it? No. Still the same. Ye also. So what is it in your life that you so desire to see the power of God work? Well, I submit to us this morning, let's remind ourselves we have the same God that the Apostle Paul served. We have the same God that the first century Roman church served. He says, by whom? In verse 5, speaking of the Son of God with power. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for His name. Among whom are ye also, the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. There may be folks in here this morning. You say, Pastor, I didn't grow up the way you grew up. Can I tell you what? You still have the same God. And you can help your family to grow up differently than you grew up. Pastor, I didn't have the same upbringing. I lived a hard life as a teenager, as a young adult. I wasn't in the Word of God. I didn't know the Word of God. I didn't grow up in church. And I didn't grow up in God's Word. And same God. Same God. Ye also. Never let that be an excuse for you not experiencing and seeing the power of God in your life. Boy, I wish I had grown up. I wish I had grown up in church. I wish I had been taught the Word of God. I wish I had been able to go to a Master Club class when I was a kid. Okay, maybe you didn't get to. But your kids can. And maybe you didn't get to, But you can still see the power of God now because you still have the same God. Ye also. God help us not to settle for mediocrity in 21st century American churches because somehow we think that we have less of a God than the Apostle Paul had. Ye also are the called of Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the reminder. Father, we love you today. We don't always manifest it the way we should. We're not always obedient to your commands. But Father, we're sure grateful this morning that we have the same salvation. We have the same commission. And we have the same provision to fulfill that same commission. And Father, we praise you for your love and for your grace and for your peace. We praise you for your faithfulness this morning. We have the resources that we need. Father, help us never to neglect those. Help us never to abdicate those. But Father, help us to tap into those and abide in you. And Lord, allow you to bear much fruit in our lives. Father, I don't know hearts this morning. I don't know if anyone needs to move today. But Father, if there's someone here without Christ, I pray that they will come. If there's a believer who needs to get some things right in their lives, I pray that they'll come or they'll bow right where they're at. Father, I pray that they'll do business with you this morning. And Father, we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning if you're physically able, with heads bowed and eyes closed. Miss Jo's at the piano. She's going to play. If you need to come, you come. Invitation's been given. It was given in the message. If you don't know Christ, you need to come. We have the same salvation. We have the same way to salvation. Jesus Christ in John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That was true then. That's still true today. Salvation is by grace, by the grace of God through faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hasn't changed. We have the same commission. Believer, how you doing in your Jerusalem? And we have the same provision. Believer, do we trust God the way that we should? Do we rest and do we labor and serve in His power and in His love and in His grace and with His peace? Because we know He's faithful. Jesus never changes, the song says. It's always the same. That means He hasn't changed His way of salvation. That means He hasn't changed the commission He's given to His church, to His people. That means He's not withholding the same provision that He gave to Paul. He's not withholding that from us. Father, we thank you for that little phrase, ye also. And Father, that shows us and proves to us, and Father gives us the confidence that we can see people saved today, and Father, we can continue to pray for them and continue to go after them and continue to speak to them and show them the Scripture, and Father, help us to do so. Father, gives us confidence that we have your power, we have the Holy Spirit, we have your presence. Father, we have your peace. We have your enabling power, your grace. Father, help us never to think that things can't be done today because this is the 21st century and we're so far from the first century church and so far from the apostles. Father, forgive us for that way of thinking. Father, may you use this place right here. Maranatha Baptist Church to be a lighthouse and an influence, and to have our fingerprints in so many different areas in West Tennessee. And Father, I pray that you'd use us mightily to see folks saved and baptized and added to the church and growing. Father, we'll praise you and thank you for what you'll do this afternoon. Give us safety as we go to our homes. And Lord, we ask that you'd bring us back together tonight, looking forward once again to what you have for us from your word. Thank you again. We praise you for your word, Lord, and how it teaches us and reminds us. Thank you for doing that this morning. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. You are dismissed.